Well, God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you today from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series on how we as Christians are in the world, but not of the world. And while we're in this world, often we are persecuted in it. And today I want to talk about why are we at odds with the world? Why is the world at odds with us? Why is there all this tension? Why can't we just get along? Well, to a certain degree, we can get along with other people in the world, but there is always between the church and between the unbelieving world outside the church, always a degree of tension, a certain degree at least. Why? Sometimes it can be very fierce. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Why are we persecuted while we are in the world? And what encouraging words does God have for us today about that? Well, let's talk about this. First of all, I think we need to acknowledge that Christians are persecuted in the world and have been ever since the times of Christ when he established the church. Let me give you some examples here. In Acts chapter 4, we read this, beginning verse 15. This is when Peter and John healed a man in the temple, and the authorities were very upset because people were believing in Jesus. It says, but when they commanded them, Peter and John, to go outside, out of the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is manifest to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. This word, when it says that he warned them, that word in the Greek is apelao, which means to threaten, to menace. Even at the very beginning, it began with a persecution of a warning, and then in the next chapter, it turned to beating them, and in Acts chapter 7, it turned to Stephen being killed. And then it went on from bad to worse. In 41 AD, Agrippa I killed James the Lesser. And then Peter narrowly escaped. The apostles fled Jerusalem. A few years after this, Annas II, the high priest, killed the greater James the Greater, who was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And then what do we read about Paul in 2 Corinthians 11? He says, I have far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Just imagine if I were Paul and I were standing before you, what I would look like after all this beating. He says also, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren. So Christians were definitely persecuted in the early days of the apostles. And in fact, it's recorded that up to 2,000 were killed in the Jewish persecution of the Christians up to 70 AD. And that was nothing, though, next to the persecution by the Roman Empire. On July 18th and 19th of the year 64, there was a great fire in Rome. Have you heard of this? Where 3 of the 14 districts of Rome, the capital of the world at the time, were destroyed. And 7 of the 14 were greatly damaged. And they had a nutso, crazy, weirdo emperor at the time named Nero. They thought he was crazy. A lot of people blamed him, but the changed the guilt from himself to others. Tacitus, the Roman historian, writes, and I quote, to get rid of the report, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations called Christians. So, hands of the Jews at the hands of the Romans, and you know that from that time all the way to this day, there have been 70 million of our brothers and sisters down from then to this day, 2,000 years, that have given their lives for the faith and been martyred. And 65% of Christian martyrs have died in the last century, in the 1900s. That's 45.5 million Christians were martyred for their faith, gave their lives for Christ in the 1900s. And it sounds like we got a pretty big issue here, don't we? We in the West don't have it quite as bad. We have a little more friendly of a culture toward Christians, although there's still that tension. But just imagine if you were in the Soviet Union, which was the first state to have an ideological rule to establish the elimination of all religion at a time. If you go to Afghanistan, Pakistan, or Saudi Arabia, don't you dare, at least under penalty of flogging and being killed, share your faith. If you share your faith there, you will be killed, most likely. If you go to China, if you don't worship in one of their state-run churches and you have a house church, you'll be imprisoned. And this became all the more personal for me when I went to the meeting I went to in Orlando this week for a lot of pastors in Florida. And there was a guy sitting next to me. His name was Daniel. He was from Ethiopia. And he told me about when he was recently in Samaria leading a small Christian crusade there. It's the first one ever in that country. You know, there's no government in Somalia. This is where you get pirates these days. And he said at the third day of the conference, he was going to stay another day, but the Holy Spirit woke him up in the morning. He said, saying, get out, flee, run. And so he got up and he went and fled out of the country just because he felt the Holy Spirit tell him. And after that, he found out about an hour or so later, the guards came in, a militia arrested his friends. Some of them were killed. And this is a guy I just met on Friday, actually on Thursday night. He's heading back to Somalia in the next couple of months. And he says when he goes, he has to change his location every hour. And he can't announce his coming or they'll kill him. So we're talking about peer persecution of Christians in the world, right? Now, we in the West, we don't feel that quite as much. Maybe. But once you start going public with your faith, you're going to feel it here too. James Dobson was at this conference I went to. I got to hear him speak personally on Friday morning or Friday afternoon. And he said that recently he had an email that said a news report about a guy who said he wanted to take James Dobson out to the street, beat him, and pee on him. And he says, that really hurts. It's hard to be a leader in the Christian church because you get this kind of persecution. And we need to remember, even if you don't feel it today for yourselves, Paul says of the church, if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. So we are all in this together. So that's point number one. We got persecution in the world. It's been that way ever since the beginning. Next question is why? Why are we persecuted? Is it because of our personalities? Now, I know you. You all got a pretty interesting set of personalities, okay? I got an interesting person. But that's not why we're persecuted, because we're like everybody else in the world that way. Could it be because of our good deeds? Well, no, because the world sometimes even thanks us for our good deeds, occasionally. How about our looks? Well, we got some pretty interesting-looking people in the church, but it's not because of our looks. We look like everyone else in the world. Why is it? I'll tell you. It's because of this. It's because of the word of God and the one who spoke these words to us. It's because of the word that we have, the word that we hear, the word that we believe, the word that we speak, the word that we confess, the word that we follow, the word of Jesus Christ in us, the word that we live. Let me show you if I can show this to you in Acts chapter 18. This is really where all the tension comes from. This is the root of it. Acts 18 verse 12. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack upon Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, I should have reason to bear with you, O Jews. But since it's a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be judge of these things." Notice what the problem was. You get it? Because of words and names, namely the word of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul was being persecuted. That's why the world also persecutes us. That's why they said to Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 4, you shall speak no longer in this man's name. You can do whatever you want in Jerusalem. You can be at peace with us. Just don't speak in this man's name, in the name of Christ. Think of Luther in the Middle Ages, in the medieval times. He was having tension and warfare with the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Over what? A word. Simply recant, Luther. Take it back, Luther. Confess that these words are not true, Luther, and we'll honor you. You'll be fine. But he said, I can't recant. It's not safe to go against the word of God. So again, what is it all over? Whenever we have tension with the world, it's just over this. Just is an interesting word. Really, it is the word of God. And Jesus says this in John chapter 15. If the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant's not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all this they'll do to you on my account because they do not know him who sent me. I want to test you right now, see if you're paying attention, you're with me. We got a non-communion service. I can go as long as I want today. All right? What was the problem here? Jesus says, if they kept my word, they'll keep yours also. The problem is, again, what? The word of God. If they, all this they'll do to you on my account because they don't know him who sent me. What's the problem? With the person of God, with the person of Jesus Christ. It's the word of God and the person who speaks his word, Jesus Christ, that's living in us, that is the source of all this persecution and tension that the church has had with the world from day one. Now, next question then. Why on earth would they persecute us for the word of God? Because the word of God is lovely. It's good. I can't believe this. I mean, when you share the word of God, why do people reject it? Here's the word of God to you. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's paid the ransom for all of your sins. And he wants to give all this to you as a free gift because he loves you out of grace to save you. And you simply need to receive it by faith. What's wrong with that? It's all good news. And yet, the reason why people don't still persecute us for this is because of this. And here's the answer. Because there are two types of people in the world. Those who hear the word of God, and those who do not hear the word of God. And that's the problem. There's a story here I read in a missionary website the other day. A young Christian in Myanmar was forced to choose between faith and family recently when her relatives demanded that she recant her faith. They were Buddhist. On September 9th, 2011, this is just a month ago, 21-year-old Ying was preparing to leave for classes at an underground seminary in her country when her relatives locked her in her house just a month ago, threatened to disown her, beat her up, withdraw support, including food, if she went to seminary or attended church again. They threatened to remove her to a remote village where there were no known Christians if she didn't recant her faith. Instead of giving in to their demands, Ying ran away from home and left her family behind. In other words, guess what, friends? There are those in the world who hear the word of God and those who do not hear the word of God. And there is this warfare, even in families, but the woman chose Christ. And God bless her. I don't know where she is today. The story didn't conclude for me. But she's out there right now. There's two types of people. We just heard of the story here. Jesus says, a sower went out to sow seed. Certain seeds fell along the path. Certain seed fell into rocky soil, and other seed fell into good soil. And then he ends that parable saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear the word of God? Well, let me give you a little example here. Ears are amazing. Do you know how ears work? It's one of the most amazing organs in the body. They look kind of funny if you think about them. But the outer ear collects the sound. The middle ear then amplifies the sound, and on the inner part of your ear, it's a dense liquid. It's the densest bone. It's the densest bone in the human body, in the inner ear. And in the liquid, there are all these little hairs hanging around all over. And as the sound gets amplified, My voice goes into your ears right now. Guess what's happening in your head? All these little hairs are being moved in the fluid, which then sends neurotransmitter signals up into the part of your brain that deals with acoustic sound, and then it gets retranslated into words there. Isn't that amazing?
Wonderful evolution. How long did that take? Right?
I think I hear you.
No.
But the ear is an amazing thing, but guess what? The ear can't always hear everything. I tried to get a dog whistle for you. It didn't work too well, so I didn't use it, but it's a frequency that you can't hear, but your dogs can hear. It's out there. Here's another example that will work, I hope. Here we have a radio, all right? Right now, all around us, there are sounds going around you right now, music and words through the radio waves, but it's at a frequency that you can't hear. But if we open it up here a little bit, I knew that was going to happen. How about that? So guess what? This isn't producing sound. This is receiving a sound that's in the air all around us right now, but you can't hear it. Well, this is the great gift of God, that his words right now are sounding out through all the earth. They're sounding out in the words of nature. They're sounding out in the words of the preachers, the prophets God has sent. And the difference, though, between us and the world is that we have received ears to hear these sounds, and then other people have not received ears to hear. Therefore, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So why don't people hear the word of God? Well, listen to this in Jeremiah 32. God says, they have turned to me their back and not their face. And though I have taught them persistently, they have not listened to receive instruction. They've set up their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. Look at this one. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and listen to my words? I've spoken to you persistently, but you've not listened to me. I've sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them persistently, saying, turn now, everyone, from his evil way and amend your doings, and do not go after other gods or serve them. And then you shall dwell in the land which I gave to you and your fathers. But you did not incline your ear or listen to me. Guess what? The whole world is divided into two classes of people. Those who hear the word of God and those who do not. But does that mean God's not speaking to the whole world? It just says in there, I spoke to you persistently. I sent to you preachers, apostles. I'm speaking to you through nature, speaking to you in your hearts through your experiences, but you would not listen. So the problem is rocky soil, like we looked at over there. Hearts that are hardened against God's word. The other reason is because the devil has stolen that word from their hearts. Jesus says this in John chapter 8, if I can find that on here. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, in my what?
Word.
You're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Jesus answered, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave doesn't continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you're descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. God in heaven is speaking to you right now. He's speaking to you through me. Did you realize that? You realize what a privilege it is for me to stand here and preach to you? Do you realize what a privilege it is for you to stand here, sit here, and listen to me? Not to pump me up, but because God has sent his prophets persistently to speak to the people. And he's speaking to you today through me, saying, hear my words. And you, praise God, do hear them. You've been given the gift. But for others, their hearts are hardened. They've not heard the word of God. And therefore, Jesus says to them again, it says, why don't you understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my words. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? And note what he says here. He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Here is all the tension in the world, friends, right here between the church and the world, is because we are of God and the world is not of God. We have ears to hear, they have not ears to hear. We have heavenly thoughts because of what we hear. The world has worldly thoughts because of what they hear. So this is the source of all this great tension. Two kinds of people in the world. Next question. Why then do we hear? It's because we are so much better than the rest of the world? Because we're virtuous, more fantastic people? Because we're special? I'll answer you one answer. Because of grace. Because of God's amazing grace to open our ears. Guess what? If this is broken, if you have a radio that is not receiving the messages, you take it to Dennis, right? And he'll fix it for you. If you have an ear that doesn't hear and a heart that won't receive it, you take it to God, and he gives you a new heart, and he makes it so that you can hear. This is entirely the work of God. If you can hear the words that I preach each week and know that these words come to you from God, broadcasting straight from the central high command, then you hear God's words. What a wonderful thing. Why don't they hear? Zechariah 7 says, but they refused to hearken. They turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts like adamant, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. What's the problem if you can't hear? What's the problem? Is it your ears, your physical ears? No. If someone who's not a Christian comes in here, they're hearing the words of God. They may not believe them. Why aren't they hearing them? The heart. It's the heart, making the heart harder than adamant. That's why you can't hear if you can't hear. But the wonderful news is this. It says in Ezekiel 11, and I will give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within them. I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I'll give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and obey them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. God has given you a new heart. What I want you to do today is rejoice in this, that God has opened your ears. By his grace, he has given you the gift of life. He has given you a new spirit to hear God. So now, next question. How then do we respond to the persecutions then? The tension that's in the world. You may, and there may be a day coming when this will really be put to the test for you. Right now, has anybody shed their blood for the name of Jesus Christ? And anyone in here? You go and ask your brothers and sisters around the world, they have. But the day may come when you will. Who knows? Hopefully not, but perhaps so. How should we respond to the persecution? Whenever even we get scorned in this life. Well, number one, we shouldn't be surprised at it, because you can only be surprised by a surprise, right? If it's expected, it's not a surprise. It shouldn't surprise you. And the apostles teach us, don't wonder, brethren, that the world hates you. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Another thing we should do, friends, is that we should be compassionate and patient with the world. Like it or not, there was a time when all of us didn't hear the word, myself included. Let me share with you a book. His book, The New Age Cult. You know who gave me this book? My wife, Beth. You know where I was when she gave it to me? In the New Age. Okay? I was going to church. I talked about Christ all the time, but I was caught up in all kinds of crazy garbage that was leading me to hell. I read this book the first time. You know what I thought of it? Beth had all these, look at these pink underlines. She thought it was a great book. She's showing me things. And I read this book and I said, nah, not really. Then God touched me. God sent persistently to me more prophets and preachers and evangelists. And I met them here on a boat, there along the street, there in a restaurant, here and there. And he gradually, patiently softened my heart until the point he birthed me again into Jesus. I read this book. I said, hey, Beth, you remember that book you gave me a year ago before I really came to faith? Can I read that again? I read it, and all of a sudden you look through here, and I got all kinds of check marks. Wow, fantastic. Sounds good. I love it. Yes, yes, yes. A year before, I couldn't hear it. A year later, my ears were open. Listen, there is sound everywhere in the room around us right now. But if we can but hear it, God speaks to us. And he's speaking to you right now. So be compassionate with other people and share with them. Because in time, God, it says, morning by morning, he wakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. Also, we really need to exercise ourselves in this Word of God. Because guess what? The longer I am in the Word, the more I'm in the Word, the sharper it becomes for me. And finally, we ought to rejoice at this Word, that we've received so many blessings. And I want you to hear this right now to you, not from me, but from God. Jesus says in John chapter 5, he who hears my word, he who hears and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. James the apostle says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word of God speaks to you that he gives us eternal life through the gospel. Tells of the Savior's love, of eternal inheritance, of a place in heaven, of a relationship of peace with God, of protection, of defense, of a strong tower. We hear these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you hear those words? Do you believe those words? Do you receive those words? So five of you do. That's great. Come on. Those words are not simply a word, friends. They are the word of God. And the gospel is the power of God that gives us salvation to everyone who has faith. When you hear these words, you know that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the bread of life and the water of life, the root of David, the bright morning star, the Prince of Peace, the only Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and our one and only great Redeemer of the world. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So in conclusion then today, I want you to know this, to rejoice in our God. For he's given us not just a word, he's given us the gospel. He's given us the word of God, which is the power of salvation to everyone who has faith. And now I commend you to God and to the word of grace, of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you a place, an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Amen.